everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the ACTIS podcast, which is a bi-weekly program dedicated to bringing you closer to the difference makers in CDI, as well as sharing the latest news that's relevant to the CDI profession and to our association, ACTIS. I'm Carla Kozak, Editorial Manager of Products and Events for ACTIS, and I will be your host for today's show. However, I'm also pleased to be joined by a co-host today, and it's someone I think you'll all know pretty well, but I'll go ahead and let her introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jess Flegel. I'm one of the editors for ACTIS, and I'm very excited to be part of the show today.
As many of you may know, Jess is our CDI Week guru. She works so closely with the Furthering Education Committee on all of the CDI Week activities. She does all of the CDI Week planning. So in honor of CDI Week next week, I wanted to have her join me today as we're going to focus on one of the major topics of this year's industry survey, which is productivity. And just remember that the full report will be available for you to review next week.
Which is very exciting. Lots to learn from it. But in the meantime, joining us to shed some light on this specific topic of productivity is a member of the Furthering Education Committee, Coral Fernandez, RN, CCDS, CCS, CDI Auditor / Educator at Baptist Health System. Fernandez has been working in CDI since 2000. As a longtime employee in CDI, she has been instrumental in writing policies and procedures for the CDI program at Baptist Health System. And she's been an auditor / educator since 2016. Since that time, Fernandez has written appeal letters in response to audit findings from insurers, trained numerous new staff, provided regular education to team members, and has regularly audited CDI team members' queries for compliance. Fernandez co-chaired the ACTIS CDI Educators Networking Group from 2019 to 2022 and spoke at KHEMA's annual conference and at CVHEMA this year. As a member of the ACTIS Furthering Education Committee, she has also helped me and the committee members with creating the CDI Week activity idea list and has answered a Q&A based on CDI Week industry survey results over the past few months.
But before we jump into our conversation with Coral, just a couple of housekeeping details. A quick reminder that the ACTIS podcast offers 0.5 ACTIS CEU for the first 4 days after posting, which you can use towards your CCDS or CCDS recertification requirements. Stay tuned for the end of the show where we'll share those instructions. And now, just a quick word about today's sponsor, the 2026 ACTIS Pocket Guide. CDI professionals need a day-to-day reference when conducting their medical record reviews, one that can provide trusted clinical indicators for compliant and effective physician queries and easy-to-use reference tables. The 2026 ACTIS Pocket Guide is your essential CDI resource. It includes updates to clinical diagnostic standards, official guidelines for coding and reporting, ICD-10 CM codes, and CDI critical thinking tips. The 2026 ACTIS Pocket Guide is co-written by industry veteran Lori Prescott and Dr. James Manns, a practicing physician at the Mayo Clinic, steeped in the latest physician documentation terminology. Pre-order your 2026 edition today and be one of the first to receive the number one CDI resource when it's released this November.
Thanks for joining us today, Coral. We're really excited to have you here. Productivity is a topic that's a bit of a tricky thing to discuss, we find, because it's hard usually to set a standard or a goal when there's so many outside influences coming into play. So first question for you, does your organization have productivity standards for your CDI team? And can you give us some examples of what those are?
We do indeed have a productivity goals at Baptist Health. We've set a goal of 3 reviews per hour, although that's averaged over time. Mm-hmm. For example, we report to each CDS the average number of reviews per hour over a month's time. This is a better metric to report than, say, the average number of reviews per hour daily. Everybody has some days that are better than others, and nobody has exactly the same day at work every day. We also report to each CDS the average reviews per hour over the course of a month done by the team as a whole. We think comparing individual metrics to the team's metrics seems appropriate, as each member of the team faces the same challenges. challenges with meetings, software issues, glitches, etc. And we think that tracking and reporting productivity in this way seems to be the most equitable. Additionally, the auditor educators can take a closer look at those CDSs with extreme outliers, those who exceed the productivity goal and those who don't quite meet the goal, and perhaps identify what those CDSs are doing differently from the others. It may be something as simple as showing a CDS an easier or faster way to locate a piece of particular information in the electronic medical record, or maybe providing some guidance on performing an organized chart review.
Thank you so much, Coral. I love that you mentioned outliers, because it can be so tricky to identify those goals when there are cases that take longer to review or cases that go more quickly. So I think it's great that your organization looks at the averages over the course of a month instead of, you know, each day. Because like you said, every day is different. Now, aside from those outliers, what are some of the pros and cons of tracking productivity metrics?
Well, facility and system management are going to ask for metrics. What metrics are reported and an explanation for the interpretation of those metrics is going to be very important. The annual CDI survey from ACDIS has been a valuable source of information in supporting metrics from others in the industry. Comparing metrics from the survey with metrics for a particular CDI program can also help address some expectations from management. Again, by reporting productivity metrics over time, outliers for lengths of reviews should average out. The only con I can think of is providing a poor explanation for interpreting those metrics when reported to management.
Yeah, I've heard that sometimes productivity metrics, like seeing a dip in them, is actually a positive thing, depending on what it is. You know, like query rates maybe should go down if you have good education. One thing I wanted to ask that we usually get a lot at ACTIS is how many record reviews should a CDI specialist perform a day? We do. In the CDI Week industry survey, asked this question, and our results found this year that over 53% of respondents are expected to complete 6 to 10 new reviews daily, and then 23% are expected to complete 11 to 15 reviews. And we get a lot of emails coming in asking, like, what should we set it as for our organization? Like, what is the magic number for this? So I'm curious what you think. Is there a magic number, and why or why not?
Jess, that is the $60,000 question.
Really, though, we get it all the time. And so it causes us to wonder, like, is there some specific number for this? But doesn't seem like we've heard something very specific from every single person we talk to.
No, and I think I know why. There are differences in software and differences in employee expectations of CDI. Some employers only want a correct principal diagnosis and 1cc or an MCC, along with the correct, albeit working, DRG. Others are interested in more advanced information and documentation. For example, some CDI programs are involved in reviewing for healthcare-associated conditions, patient safety indicators, and risk adjustment. CDI reviews for this kind of documentation can require a lengthier review, which results naturally in fewer reviews per day of work. There are also some CDI programs which set an expectation for the number of queries sent in a certain time frame, you know, whether that be a week or a day. If that CDS is hunting for something to query, that may mean a lengthier review as well. Another thought is the length of time a CDS has been in their current position. Newer CDSs are naturally not going to have the speed, accuracy, or confidence of more experienced CDSs. And if there are more novices than experts on the team, that may also impact the review rate for the group.
Wow. Yeah. So many factors.
Yeah. Great points all around, Coral. There really is just so much to consider there. Now, As part of your role on the Furthering Education Committee, you also assisted us with a Q&A on productivity, so on this topic. And in it, you mentioned that your program's query rate goal is set for the whole program and it's not for individual CDI specialists, which we thought was really interesting. Could you tell us a little bit about how that goal was set, how your team works to achieve it, and the benefits of setting a program query rate rather than an individual goal rate?
Sure. The productivity goal for the system was set after looking at industry data as well as past performance of the individual CDSs in our team, as well as past performance averages for the team as a whole. Some of the CDSs at Baptist Health specialize in reviews of particular types of encounters. That's not to say they can't or don't review other types of encounters. It just means that their main focus is on specific types of encounters. For example, one of our CDSs focuses mostly on cardiac encounters, acute MIs, for example, and another focuses mostly on infants in the neonatal intensive care. In my opinion, those CDSs whose reviews are mainly specific targeted types of admissions can't accurately be compared to the others whose reviews cover a wide range of encounters. By tracking query rate for the team rather than concentrating on individual performance, I believe the data is more representative of the program as a whole. And again, if, for example, half the CDSs on a team have been in their position less than a year, then their productivity may not be an accurate reflection of what their productivity will be a year or two from now. Both individual productivity for those newer CDSs and team productivity may be lower for a time until the newer CDSs gain more experience.
Interesting. So when you set that goal, it's keeping all those things in mind. Are there like people jumping in to try to meet it, you know, more experienced people trying to add more reviews or, you know, queries in this case, to kind of help mitigate that with newer people coming in?
I don't think that's a conscious effort, no.
No, it's just kind of naturally happening with the kind of goal that you set?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Okay, well, the next question we have for you is also from the CDI Week industry survey results. So in this question, we asked about physician query response rate. And we found out that 62.75% of respondents are reporting a 91 to 100% query response rate from providers, which was also the common goal response rate for CDI departments, which is pretty encouraging to see. So do you think that CDI success can be measured by this response rate from physician queries? And yeah, why or why not?
What is CDI success?
The million-dollar question.
Right. That is a good point.
I think the effectiveness of a CDI program can be supported by the physician query response rate. If the physician query response rate is low, then the CDI program can't be as effective as it might otherwise be. Meaningful provider response to CDI queries can and should be supported by physician leadership and facility executives to encourage participation and improve physician engagement. Provider education regarding how documentation affects coding and how coding affects reimbursement can also improve provider response rates.
Yeah, great point. Now, sort of in the same vein, I want to keep talking about queries. You mentioned in the Q&A on productivity that you worked on with us that, quote, query compliance is an underrated metric. I just loved that statement. So can you talk a little bit about what you meant by that? I just think it's so interesting.
Absolutely. I heard a few years ago that there are a lot of CDI programs out there who don't routinely audit for query compliance. I can only assume that there are still programs out there that don't. Does it really matter if the number of charts per hour or the number of queries sent in a day is within the productivity standard if those queries are not compliant with guidelines for achieving a compliant query practice. Each employee of Baptist Health CDI is regularly audited for query compliance, and individualized education is provided based on those audit findings. This auditing includes the CDI leads, managers, auditor educators, and the director, everyone who writes CDI queries. Regular auditing and continuing education regarding CDI queries is mandated by the federal government. The auditor educators with Baptist Health audit for query compliance, both on a daily basis and with a monthly number of randomly chosen queries for each query professional. The idea behind this is to be able to provide concrete and timely feedback to the CDSs regarding the quality of the queries they write. The auditor educators provide individualized feedback to the individual CDSs, as well as general education in the weekly CDI newsletter that is sent to the entire department. Currently at Baptist, the auditor educators review all CDI queries sent the day before. So today, this morning, I've spent some time reviewing queries that were sent yesterday for compliance and accuracy. In doing that, we can redact some non-compliant queries after they're sent, but before they're answered. And this allows the CDS to revise and resend as a compliant query. Baptist Health does not use documentation from provider response to a non-compliant query, either as codable documentation or as documentation that can be used to submit a follow-up query. So by identifying a non-compliant query before it is answered and revising it and resending it, the auditor educators are able to protect a query opportunity. That ensures that the record is able to be coded accurately and that final coding represents the true picture of that patient's encounter. Query compliance is an underrated metric. Query compliance rate is measurable and addressable and educable. Anyone who writes CDI queries occasionally writes a non-compliant query, every single one of us. Being able to provide continuing education regarding query compliance means being able to provide concrete feedback to individual CDSs as well as the group. And if a query is if queries are non-compliant, does it really matter what your query rate is? The Office of Inspector General says targeted training sessions should be developed and assigned based on individuals' roles and responsibilities and any compliance risks specific to those roles and responsibilities. The training sessions should cover any compliance risks specific to the learner's roles and responsibilities. Depending on the learner's roles, these may include, for example, billing, coding, documentation, interactions with physicians, The organization should establish and publicize its procedures for identifying, investigating, and remediating, including retraining or discipline for the involved individuals. Actions that do not comply with the entity's standards of conduct, policies and procedures, or federal and state laws. Each employee of Baptist Health CDI is regularly audited for query compliance, and individualized education is provided based on the audit findings.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack there, Coral. Thank you. I love that you're doing so much and so frequent auditing at Baptist. I think it's such a great way to maintain compliance, but to also identify all of those different learning opportunities and to provide the education as needed. It's just a really great way to stay engaged with where the CDI specialists are at currently and how to meet those needs while, again, ensuring that the organization is remaining compliant. So thanks so much for unpacking that a little bit further for us. We are running out of time, but before I let you go, Coral, I wanted to just end with a little bit of a fun question. With CDI Week coming up, How will you be celebrating?
I think I will send an e-card to all of my colleagues here at Baptist in the CDI department.
Cute.
Yeah, nothing like letting people know that they're appreciated.
And in our weekly newsletter, we have room for things like that. So I will, of course, being a participant in the Furthering Education Committee, I will make sure I'll be sure to put something in our weekly newsletter about all of the activities that the Furthering Education Committee has been working so hard on the last few weeks.
There is a lot, and there's plenty to choose from. So I love that. You can just send them the whole list.
Thank you so much, Coral, and wishing you and your team a very happy CDI week. This has been such a helpful conversation, but unfortunately we have run out of time now. But as always, if our audience has any questions about this topic, they can feel free to email the ACTIS team at info@actis.org. Again, Coral, thanks so much for being here with us today and for sharing your experiences. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for asking me to be here.
Now it's time for the ACTIS update, which our regular listeners know is a segment featuring the latest news on what's going on inside the association. Now, as you all know, CDI Week is kicking off next week. And before I pass it over to Jess to talk about everything you can look forward to, I just wanted to let all of our ACTIS members know that a new edition of the CDI Journal is now available. Now, as a reminder, access to the CDI Journal is an exclusive benefit of ACTIS membership. A new edition comes out every month, and once you've read it, you can take a quick quiz to earn a free CEU. So that's up to 6 free CEUs a year that ACTIS members can earn by reading each edition of the CDI Journal. Now, the September-October edition explores the impact that CDI can have on all aspects of healthcare. And it features articles on the role of ancillary documentation in CDI, strategies for gaining leadership buy-in, and the importance of taking a holistic approach, just to name a few of the articles. So if you haven't already, head over to the ACTIS website and check it out. And with that, I am going to pass it over to Jess, who's going to share how you can join in on the CDI Week celebrations with us.
Thanks, Carla. There really is so much going on during CDI Week I could go on and on about. But first, if you haven't heard yet, the theme for this year is CDI and the Case of the Missing Documentation. And it's a chance for us to celebrate how CDI professionals act as detectives in the healthcare sphere and follow a trail of clues to crack the case. The Further Education Committee has already created a list of activity ideas based on this theme to inspire you and your team, as well as multiple resources that you can download and use, such as a CDI bingo card you can fill out throughout the week, a self-care handout, a CDI week-themed background for your video calls, a CDI Mad Lib, and plenty more, I've got to say. These are all available to be downloaded on our website, as well as the official CDI Week poster. So they're there to help you celebrate with your teams and on your own. And to kick off CDI Week, the CDI Week Industry Report, which we've mentioned earlier with all of those survey results, will be published in full on Sunday, September 14th, with results on the following 5 hot topics: provider and staff engagement, productivity, denials management, outpatient and risk adjustment, and pediatrics and OBGYN. Then, starting Monday through Friday, there's going to be daily Q&As posted on each of these topics, which will be answered by members of the Furthering Education Committee. And as well, there's going to be special deals and discounts for things like ACTIS membership, ACTIS books and webinars, and more. So just keep an eye on our socials, on your email inbox, just for all those different opportunities as well. And the social media especially will have a chance to enter giveaways. So we hope to interact with you in many places this coming week. Last, but certainly not least, it'd be remiss of me not to mention the CDI Week State of the Industry webinar, which will be hosted next Thursday, September 18th, 1 to 2:30 p.m. And I'll be hosting it along with three panelists to discuss the industry survey results together. And this is a free webinar that you can earn Actis CEUs for. So best of both worlds there. I hope you don't miss it.
Thanks so much, Jess, for taking the time to go through all of that. There really is so much going on during CDI week. And just on behalf of everyone, I want to thank you and the Furthering Education Committee for all of the hard work, creativity, time that you've put into developing these resources so that we can all celebrate CDI week together. I know CDI week is something that we all look forward to every year. And so I also want to extend our thanks on behalf of the Actis team to all of the CDI professionals across the country for the incredible work that they're doing. We see you, we recognize your efforts, and we appreciate you for all that you do. So as always, thanks for listening, and you can find the link for more information in today's show notes. Please do let us know how you're celebrating CDI week with photos at info@actis.org. We love to celebrate with you. As a reminder before we close out, each Actis podcast episode offers 0.5 Actis CEU, which can be used towards recertifying your CCDS or CCDSO credential for those who listen to the show in the first 4 days from the time of publication. To receive your 0.5 CEU, go to the show page on actis.org by clicking on the Actis podcast link under the free resources tab, and then clicking on today's episode from the list on that page. Then scroll down to the recording of today's episode and press play. At the end of the video, all the way at the end when the timer hits zero, a link to the CEU evaluation will appear. Click on that, take the survey, and your certificate will be automatically emailed to you upon submitting the brief evaluation. These instructions are also laid out on the show page, so you can go ahead and follow along there too. To ensure your certificate reaches you and does not get trapped in your organization's spam filters, we do suggest that you use a personal email address when completing the CEU form. The cutoff for today's episode is Sunday, September 14th at 11 p.m. Eastern. After that point, the CEU period will close and you will not be eligible for the 0.5 CEU for this week's episode. And with that, we have reached the end of today's Actis podcast episode, but we'll be back in 2 weeks on Wednesday, September 24th, with a new episode hosted by Linnea Archibald. If you'd like to receive reminders about each episode, make sure you're subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, CDI Strategies, which always includes a link to the new episode when it's available. You can listen to the show at any time on the Actis website or via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. All the links we discussed during today's episode will be available in the show notes. And as always, we'd really appreciate it if you'd take a minute to leave a 5-star review on your podcast app to help others find our show. Our intro and outro music is Media Noche by D.N. Key, and our ad music is Take Me Higher by Jazar, both obtained from the Free Music Archive. If you have any suggestions for future guests or topics, please do email us at info@actis.org. And until next time, take care.